G'day, this is Pastor Les Gomes from Transformers Christian Church. It's our desire that the message you're about to hear encourages you and helps you identify some valuable insights about your life and situation. As you listen to this message, it's really important that you think about how you can put what you learn into action. The only way you're going to see your life transformed is by putting the things you've learned to work. The Bible says we need to hear the word and also do it. Now, let's get into today's message.
I finally got the clearance from the Lord to preach on meatheads versus airheads. I've been studying this for about 20 years. So, and then I heard Kenneth Copeland talk about it. I thought, hey, he had the same thing. So anyway, Romans 8 verse 5 says, "For those who live according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh. Those who live according to the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death. But to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, nor indeed can be. So then those who are in the flesh cannot please God." So I want to read it to you from the New Living Translation, the same passage, Romans 8, verse 5 to 8. It says, "Those who are dominated by the sinful nature think about sinful things. But those who are controlled by the Holy Spirit think about things that please the Spirit. So letting your sinful nature control your mind leads to death. But letting the Spirit control your mind leads to life and peace. For the sinful nature is always hostile to God. It never did obey God's laws, and it never will. That's why those who are still under the control of their sinful nature can never please God." Now, I do like the New Living Translation, but it does go a little bit far with it. So I want to give some definitions and some understanding with what we're talking about so we can understand what when I'm talking about meatheads and airheads, what we're talking about. But, you know, the Bible, like in the New King James, it talks about those who live according to the flesh, set their minds on the things of the flesh. The New Living Translation says it's sinful nature. Oftentimes that's accurate, but not always. Sometimes it's a bit of an interpretation that they're putting on there. It's, you know, in the New Living Translation says those who are dominated by the sinful nature think about sinful things. It's not so much that. When you're in the flesh, it's not that you're thinking sinful things, but it's the things that you think become sinful. And there's a difference. Let me explain. It's not necessarily sinful to spend money. But when you're in the flesh and you spend money, it's wrong. There's nothing wrong with having a good feed. But then there's others that'll go into excess because they're indulging their flesh and that becomes wrong. So can you see that? So it's not the sinful nature that's the issue. It's not doing bad things. There's a lot of things that we can do that are neutral. Watching TV, there's nothing wrong with watching TV. But how many understand that sometimes you can watch TV to a place where it's just wrong. And it's not even the content of what you're watching. You're just wasting your time. And so when we're talking about the flesh, we're talking about when we're indulging ourselves in things that may not even necessarily be bad, but we're doing it in a way that it is actually quite destructive. Hey, going fishing, there's nothing wrong with that. But how many understand you can get into the flesh and you can overdo it? Or it's not a recreational thing anymore. Amen. Hallelujah. So there's lots of different ideas. Hey, these things can become sinful if you overdo it. Hey, and that's what walking in the flesh is. Walking in the flesh is when you refuse to control what you do. But what you do is now controlling you. All right. Really, the flesh, sometimes you can interpret that as a sinful nature. But probably a better way to interpret it is the flesh is a part of you that is not surrendered to God. That in essence is what the flesh is. So when you're fleshly minded, you're separated from the life of God because you're not considering, you're not under the control, you're not allowing certain things to be surrendered to God's control. Hey. When you yield to your desires that God has put within your spirit, that's when you're walking in the spirit. Hey, when you yield to desires that you refuse to give to God, to surrender to God, that's when you're walking in the flesh. And so it's the part of you that's not surrendered to God, hey? So let me give you some examples. I'm going to read some scriptures to you and show you how it works. And it opens it up. Well, certainly for me it did, like reading the scriptures, understanding the flesh is a part of me that I refuse to surrender to God. If I understand that, then watch how the scriptures open up. So you don't have to turn there. I'm going to read some out. So in Romans chapter 7, verse 5, it says, when we were in the flesh, the sinful passions which were aroused by the law were at work in our members to bear fruit to death. Now, if we replace flesh with what I said, so this is the way it'll read. When we refused to surrender that thing to God, the sinful passions which were aroused by the law went to work in our members to bring death. To me, it just made it alive. It's like, wow. In Romans 7, verse 18, it says, I know that in me, that is in my flesh, nothing good dwells. So again, if we understand that flesh is a part of you that you're not giving over to God, you can read that, I know that in me, that is in that part of me that I refuse to surrender to God, nothing good dwells. Romans 8, verse 7, because the carnal mind is enmity against God, because it is not subject to the law of God, nor indeed can be. Carnal mind is talking about being in the flesh. Because the mind that refuses to be surrendered to God is enmity against God. Is it any wonder it's enmity? Is it any wonder that it's hostile? If you're refusing to surrender that area of your life and that way of thinking, no wonder it doesn't please God. No wonder it leads to defeat. No wonder you can't be in victory. And so the flesh is that part of you that you refuse to surrender to God. Hey. And we're all growing. Hey, there are things you will never arrive on this earth. You're always growing. You're always getting there. I look at my life and there's things that God has called on me in the last 12 months that I can see changes in my life. Things that last year that I would do and I didn't see any problem with it, but now I can see that God was dealing with me. And it could be others are doing the same thing, but he's talked to me and said, I don't want you to do that. How many of you understand that your walk with God is your walk with God? It's got nothing to do with right things and wrong things. There are some things that people can do, but for you, God doesn't want you to do. If you don't understand how to walk in the Spirit, you're not going to pick those things up. And you'll be thinking, well, they're doing it and they're doing it, so I can do it. And then you're wondering, why am I struggling? Why am I not making progress? Your walk with God is your walk with God. And God will deal with you about some things that he may not talk to someone else for years or may never talk to anybody else about. And if you're not understanding that, then you're going to be limited in your growth. Hey. So meatheads versus airheads. You know, in verse 7 it says the carnal mind. That word carnal comes from a Spanish word, carne, which means meat. A carnal mind is meat thinking, meathead. You think with your head. So carnal mind is a meathead. And spirit comes from the Greek word pneuma, which is breath or air. All right? And so I remember years ago, over 20 years ago when I was studying this, I thought, wow, God doesn't want me to be a meathead. He wants me to be a spirit-minded person, airhead. So we want to be airheads. Hey, turn around to the person next to you and say, you need to be an airhead. We don't want to be meatheads, hey? So let me read this passage to you, changing it to meathead and airhead so you can see. In Romans 8, verse 5 to 8, I call this the new Les Gomes version. So the NLGV. So meatheads set their minds on the things of the flesh, but airheads the things of the spirit. For meathead thinking leads to death, but airhead thinking leads to life and peace. Because the meathead is enmity against God. For he is not subject to the law of God, nor indeed can he be. So then those who are meatheads cannot please God. And so we're going to look a little bit about the difference between meatheads and airheads this morning, hey? If you're a note taker, you can write this down. Meatheads are ruled by their circumstances. And it says there in Romans 8 verse 5, the first part of it, those who live according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh. Those who are meatheads, those who think, those who have that thought process where they refuse to surrender certain things to God and they want to just keep thinking like that, those who live like that will set their minds on those things. Meatheads are ruled by their circumstances. They're constantly frustrated, angry, annoyed. Whether it's the traffic, whether it's rumors at work that's causing them to be apprehensive or anxious, whether it's their bank balance, they're ruled. It's like, oh, I can't do anything because I just don't have the money. You should, if you're a child of God, if you are a believer, you should remove from your vocabulary, I can't afford it. I never saw Jesus saying that. Hey, and as long as you say it and you believe it, you'll have it. Because Jesus said, whatever you say, if you believe it, you're going to have it. I can't afford it. Guess what? If that's what you're saying and that's what you believe, that's where you're going to stay. A meathead is ruled by their circumstances. So they'll look at their bank balance and they'll go, I guess I can't do that, can I? You know, God doesn't have a problem getting money to you. Hey, I know. Because the way that I've lived, and Joy, when Joy was alive, the way Joy and I lived from 2012 onwards has been just, in one word, amazing. And it's not, it wasn't like a get-rich-quick scheme. But there was a progress and a journey, and I ain't arrived there. But gosh, every year we have lived better and better and better. And it's not because the church is doing well. And the church does contribute towards my finances. But that's only been of late. I learned how to live in kingdom finances before we even had a church. So what I'm trying to say to you is you don't have to go and try to plant a church or do anything. God has a way of getting money to you. You got no idea of. And the problem that people have is they're looking at every natural way they can think of making money. God never says, there's nowhere in the Bible that says you have to work it out. It actually says trust in the Lord with all your heart. Don't lean on your own understanding. And He'll, in all your ways acknowledge Him, He'll make your path straight. But meatheads are ruled by their circumstances. To them, it's just like their bank balance or their what the doctors have said or, you know, like, that's it. I'm on Centrelink and that's where I'm going to be because I just can't get out of it. If I stop Centrelink, what's going to happen to me then? Guess what? You know, as long as you remain on unemployment, you are not giving God room to bless you. You need to get a job. If you don't have a job, you need, and God will help you. Here's a real, real simple way of being motivated to find a job. Just do what the Bible says. It says, if you don't work, don't eat. You'll be real motivated to find yourself a job. Hey, that's not me, that's the Bible. Believe God for a job if you don't have a job. That's number one priority. Hey, and do you think God's not going to help you? Of course He's going to help you. But see, meatheads will just think, oh, well, that job is in McDonald's and it's only going to pay me so much. I can get more on through Centrelink. Guess what? You are not giving God room to move. Cut the strings off Centrelink. Get the job, even if it pays less. If you start with that, you're now putting your hands to work. And how many understand the Bible says God has given your hands power to get wealth? It's when you work with your hands and do things that are good and you're a contributor, you will find God will bless you and increase you. This is not easy stuff. And I'm not trying to condemn anyone. If you don't have a job, I'm not trying to condemn you. I'm saying make it a priority. Be motivated because God's on your side and He wants you to have work. And start with anything. Just start. Just get a start. And roll your sleeves up. And you could end up like Anthony, where he's ready to take up the directorship of his job. Yeah. But a meathead will just think about their circumstances. Well, I don't know what I can do. They're only going to pay me this much. I can't afford that. No, just start. Just start. And they'll make financial decisions based on the price tag. Hey, do you realize not everything that saves you money will keep money in your pocket? I seem to be talking a lot about finances this morning. It was not my plan to do that. Obviously, there's people that need to hear this. Sometimes you can actually purchase something and think you've made a saving, and it could be the most expensive investment you've ever made. Hey. But if you're a meathead, you're governed by the price tag. How much is it? No way, I'm not paying that. You think, I remember God said that to me one time. I was complaining about, he told me to do something, it was going to cost some money. And I was complaining about it. And he goes, what are you complaining about? He goes, I'm paying for it. I thought, oh, that's right. Yes, I had to get into my own pocket and pay for it, but God repaid me. But see, a meathead will just think about the price tag. No way. If I pay, that means I won't have. Whereas airheads are ruled by the Word of God and the leading of the Holy Spirit. They don't care what the circumstances say. It's not like we just pretend the circumstances are not there. There's a way, you know, like the things that I'm talking about, particularly with finances, it's a very different way of living and walking. But how many of you understand the kingdom of God is completely opposite to the kingdoms of this world? You know, the kingdoms of the world say someone hits you, well, you hit them back. You know, if they poke you, you slap them. If they slap you, you punch them. If they punch you, you get a hammer. You know, do something. You know, like that's the world's way. But Jesus said, you love those who hate you. You bless those who speak ill of you. You pray for those who persecute you. That's just the opposite. Because we're taught in this world, you even the score, dude. You look for the opportune moment and then you cash in and make them pay. And so even with finances, it's very different. God, you know, the key to financial prosperity, and I'm not saying I've arrived, but I'm doing heaps better than I've ever done in my life. And I'm getting better. For some, it may not be that I'm doing amazingly well. But when I look at my life, and I look where I was 5 years ago, and even 10 years ago, and I look where I am today, I am doing immensely better. And this is the way I measure prosperity. It's not how much money is in my bank. Prosperity is measured on your ability to give. Amen. Hey, because there's some people that have a lot of money coming in, but they got a lot of money going out. That's not prosperous. You're just paying the bills, and that's it. Prosperity is when you have freedom to give in increasing measure. And that's a scriptural way of measuring it. In 2 Corinthians, I think it says, and you having all sufficiency for all things, may have an abundance for every good work. That's prosperity, when you've got an abundance to sow. But airheads, they're ruled by the Word of God. They're ruled by what the Holy Spirit says to them. And in Romans 8:5, it says, those who live according to the Spirit set their minds on the things of the Spirit. An airhead recognizes that when God tells them to do something, it may not make sense in their natural mind. When God tells them to do something, they may not understand why. There's very, very few times where God has spoken to me that I've looked back and He's told me all the reasons. He's given me 15 reasons why I should do this. The vast majority of times He'll just tell me to do something. And I'm thinking like, are you sure about that, God? Is there someone else? Can I get a second opinion on this? Hands up if God has ever spoken to you and asked you, or told you to do something, but before he did, he said, hey, is this a convenient time for me to talk to you? Has anybody ever had that? Never does that, does he? He'll just tell you to go and do something, hey? And if you become selective on what you obey, like some people, it's like, God, I'm praying for my healing. Please, God, please, please. And they're praying for their healing, and God talks to them about their attitude towards someone else, and they're going, what's that got to do with anything? It's got everything to do with it. Just do what he tells you to do, even if you can't see a connection. He doesn't ask us to understand why. He doesn't ask us whether it makes sense in our natural mind. An airhead is someone who'll just do what God tells them to do. Those who live according to the Spirit set their minds on the things of the Spirit. Did it make sense to tell a crowd of 5,000 plus women and children to be seated and get ready to have a feed? All they had was a little boy's lunch. No, it didn't make sense at all. Jesus is telling the 12, tell the people to sit down, get them to sit in groups of 50s and 100s. And they've got to go out and tell everybody, hey, we're going to have something to eat. Everybody be seated. There was no like pie van that came past and just started handing out pies. There's one little boy's lunch. See, but airheads will do what the Spirit leads them to do. They're not ruled like a meathead by their circumstances, hey? Did the disciples understand why it was necessary for the Christ to die and to suffer? They didn't. In fact, Peter tried to intercede. No, Lord, this is not going to happen to you. And what did Jesus do? Oh, Peter, mate, what could I do without you? Is that what he did? Get behind me, Satan. You're not mindful of the things of God. See, he was a meathead. He wasn't an airhead. In Luke chapter 4, you don't need to turn there, but it says in Luke 4 verse 1, it says, Jesus was led by the Spirit into the wilderness. Isn't it interesting? It wasn't the devil that led him into the wilderness. He was tempted by the devil. But it wasn't the devil that led him. It was the Spirit that led him. Do you realize that living this life and desiring to be Spirit-led, desiring to be an airhead, there will be times where the Spirit will lead you into the wilderness. I want to read you some stuff that I wrote down just yesterday because the Holy Spirit was just giving me some revelation about this. You know, the wilderness is a harsh and a barren place, eh? There's little life in the wilderness, eh? Very few people survive in the wilderness. And yet the Holy Spirit led Jesus into the wilderness. The wilderness is a place of death. And for the believer, the wilderness is a place where you will die to your self-sufficiency. But it's also a place where you will discover your sufficiency in Christ. The wilderness is a place that looks bleak. It looks unforgiving. It lacks in every way that you can imagine. And yet it's a place where you're meant to discover that God is more than enough for you. The children were Israel. The children of Israel, they were led into the wilderness, weren't they? And yet when they went through the wilderness, they never lacked food. Their clothes never wore out. There was not a single sick or feeble person among them. They weren't hungry. Yet in spite of all of that, they failed to see that God was their sufficiency, and so a whole generation died. God will lead you sometimes into a wilderness where it just doesn't look promising at all. I remember when God spoke to us and said, you're going to give up your job and you're going to trust me. And it just, the closer we got to the date, the more nervous we got because it just didn't look promising. It's like, the bills are still going to come in. Like, what are we going to do? But we understood certain things because God had been teaching us for a couple of years. And the wilderness is like that. When God leads you, it looks bleak. It doesn't look promising. It looks like this is where I'm going to fail. This is where I'm going to die. But you're not meant to stay in the wilderness, eh? That was not God's will for the children of Israel. You know, the Bible says it's only 11-day journey for Israel to get through that wilderness. It took them 40 years. Because they never got it. When God takes you into the wilderness, and he will do that, just like he did with Jesus, he takes you so that you discover that sufficiency comes from Christ and him alone. But his desire is for you not to live there. It is not a place of permanent abode. He wants you to pass through there into the promised land, just like the Israelites were meant to do, hey? But if you have hardness of heart and you're unwilling to do things God's way, you've become a meathead. And like the Israelites, you'll find yourself living in the wilderness, and it was never God's will for you to be living like that. Hey, there will be times the Holy Spirit will lead you into the wilderness. Why would he do that? What's his purpose? Well, if you read Deuteronomy 8, we're not going to turn there, but you can look it up in your own time. But Deuteronomy 8 tells us his purpose. It's to humble you. It's to test your character, to find out if you'll obey him, that you would learn to not just live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. They're timeless principles. Do you realize God wants to bless you so amazingly? What does the scripture say? Exceedingly above all that you can ask or think. It says that in Ephesians chapter 3. Or in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, it says, to him who's able to do, where it talks about how he, 1 Corinthians chapter 2, eye has not seen, nor has ear heard, nor has it entered into the heart of man the things that God has planned for him. Hey, what's that? Yeah, but God has revealed it, yeah. God has so much more for you and for me, it would boggle your mind. But the wilderness is a place where he will test your character. If we're talking about finances, when you're looking and it's like, man, if I tithe, I'm not going to have enough to get through the week. But God has to know that, can I trust you? Because I want to pour kingdom finances to you in a way that you've never seen. And if you can't be trusted to trust me in the wilderness, what are you going to do with excess? Do you realize money is, it's not good or evil, but money will give you freedom to do whatever's on your heart. And so if your heart is not surrendered to God, you will use money to destroy yourself. You look at the celebrities and the rock stars, how many that have done that? That's why God will take you into the wilderness at different times, to humble you, to test your character, to prove you. Not because he's saying, let's see what you got today. Hey, you're going to do this. No, it's not like that. He wants you to pass the test. Because after you pass the test, you get the promotion. He doesn't want you to stay in the wilderness. He wants you to get through that. Come on, there's a promised land. Let's get through this. But see, meatheads, they just get caught up in the wilderness. Thinking, this is too hard, God. What you're asking me to do, if I do that, what's going to happen to me? You want me to forgive that person? You want me to treat them like they've done nothing? God, didn't you see what they said about me? And what did I do to them? That's meathead thinking. Hey, because the language of the kingdom is the language of love. Is that right? And when you then begin to walk in love, even treating people the right way, even when they've treated you badly, then God becomes your shield. He becomes your defense. He becomes your refuge. He becomes your deliverer. But you'll never experience God's defense and provision and protection. Oh, I've got so many stories I can tell you where God protected me, where it looked certain that people had concocted things against me, and it looked certain that it was going to end up in defeat. And I just landed not just on my feet, but I landed with promotion. Hallelujah. Meatheads live by how they feel, hey? Their motto is, if it feels good, do it. If they're hungry, they're going to eat. If they're tired, they're going to sleep. If they're grumpy, they're going to stay out of... Oh, if they're grumpy, you should stay out of their way. Meatheads are enslaved to addictive behaviors. And an addictive behavior is not necessarily a bad thing. It could be shopping. So I'm going to shop because I've got money and I need to do something with that. Hey. Addictive behaviors could be that you are just constantly on your device. You know, that's rude. If you're getting together with someone and you're constantly on your... Even if they are, that's rude. Hey, if I'm invited to someone's place, I will put that phone down, and before I pick it up, I will ask permission of the person that I'm at. Because that's rude. That's an addictive behavior. Some people can't get there. It's like they're constantly posting and tagging themselves doing everything, but they're not actually there. They're on their device. They're not enjoying the moment. Oh yeah, they've got some photos and some footage, but they didn't enjoy the moment. They were too busy recording it. Yeah, that's another thing. Meatheads live by how they feel, hey? Addicted to their devices, to the shopping, to spending money, to gaming. God doesn't want you controlled by anything. Do I hear an amen?
Amen.
He doesn't want anything controlling you. He loves you too much. If you can't turn off that computer game or that console, you are addicted and you are enslaved to it. And God doesn't want that, hey? Meatheads are ruled by their five physical senses and their emotions. If they pray for healing, but they still feel sick, it didn't work, did it? When the doc prescribes medication and you take that medication, are you going to go back that afternoon and say it didn't work? I saw you this morning, you gave me those antibiotics, I took my first course, nothing happened. I paid $450 for those antibiotics. You're not going to do that, are you? You understand that medicine takes time to work. Well, the word is medicine to our flesh. But see, a meathead will pray and go, it didn't work because I still feel the same. Let the medicine work. Hallelujah. Meatheads just rule by their physical senses and their emotions. Hey, if there's no money in their bank account, then they've got no money. The truth is, you've got a treasure in the heavens that never fails. You know why it doesn't work? I heard somebody say this in my head. Well, that doesn't work for me. You know why it doesn't work? Because you don't believe it. Hey, if you believe it, you act on it. Hey, look at things. Read the scriptures. Read it as if it's the truth. And then think about, how can I put this into action in my life? You ain't going to go from A to Z in one day. But there's a journey and you'll be very pleased as you journey through. So meatheads are just dominated by how they feel, hey? They're so unpredictable. They're unreliable. Sometimes they're up, sometimes they're down. When they're up, the sun is shining, the birds are chirping, everyone should be happy. And they're highly productive and they're fun to be around. But when a meathead is down, it's overcast and rainy, hey? There's no birds except for them flaming crows. And just stay out of their way, hey? You're not allowed to smile, hey? Nothing gets done with it when a meathead's not. See, whereas airheads are not dominated by how they feel. Airheads live by faith. They believe what the word has to say. And it may not be working right now the way they want it to work, but they just know, if I stay on this, it's going to work because it's God's word. They're not moved by what they see. They're not moved by what they feel, what they hear, the rumors, the gossip. They're not moved by any of that stuff. People come up to you and go, did you hear what so-and-so said to you? No, I didn't hear, and I don't want to hear. Save yourself a lot of hassle. Just cut someone off from telling you instead of going, what did they say? Or did they now? And then all of a sudden, you've got to battle with those feelings. The feelings are real. Someone does something that's hurtful, of course you're going to feel hurt. Better just to cut it off, say, I'm not interested. If it's bad, I'm not interested. Much easier to deal with that. Airheads are stable. When they get an unusual symptom or pain in their body, they don't give in to the thoughts of panic. Do you realize the enemy will attack you with unusual... Like sometimes you'll get something unusual happen in your body, like, what was that? And suddenly there's just like this voice in your head, cancer. You're gone, man. You're the walking dead. We feel this pain in your chest. What's that? Heart trouble. You're dead. They're going to find you dead, hey? No one will even know. They won't even hear you. You're here by yourself. And all these thoughts are going through your mind. See, but an airhead is stable. They're not moved by what they feel. Because they're connected to the Word of God. I'm not saying you'll never get weird symptoms in your body. You will. And sometimes you'll get pains. You'll get unusual things happen. But is God in heaven going like, oh my goodness, has that happened to you now? What are we going to do? Gabriel, you didn't tell me anything about this. What's going on? God's not taken by surprise. And neither should we. Some of you have heard me say this. This is a revelation God gave me years ago about, like, if you've got like a toddler or younger and they fall or they bump their head or they hurt themselves, the first thing they will do is look to mum, because they want to see what mum's reaction is. If mum is horrified, then they should be upset. Because, like, oh my goodness, even my mum, who's like Superman, right, even she's horrified, right? But if the mum just remains calm and goes, "You're all right, get up, you're all right," they might even, like, have a really bad bump on their head. It's like, but they'll get up and they'll be fine, hey? I remember the Lord said that to me one time. He said, any time you're not sure what to do, just look to me. If I'm horrified, panic. He goes, but if I'm still calm, you're going to be fine. Just look to your Heavenly Father. Hey, God, is this serious? Oh, you're all right. Okay, no problem. An airhead is not moved by what they feel, even if it feels serious. An airhead is not moved by what they hear, even if it's like, did you hear the rumor? They're going to cut back. People's jobs are on the line. They reckon in the next few weeks, that's it. Airheads are not moved by that. They're connected with God. Even if you had to lose your job, you think that takes God by surprise? I remember one time, the chaplaincy, when I was working as a chaplain, it went dreadfully into the red. $16,000 into the red. And they had an emergency meeting. They said, we just have to cut you back. I was doing full time and they cut me back to one day a week. And I was like, one day? What's one day going to pay when you're used to 5 days? And then to rub salt into the wound, the chairman of my committee said to me, Les, would you close in prayer for us? I did not feel like praying. But I'm so thankful that he did, because it caused me to get out of my flesh and go deep into the place where God is. And when I did, I looked to my Heavenly Father. And he wasn't horrified. He wasn't panicking. And so I prayed and I said, God, this hasn't taken you by surprise. So you have a way forward for us. And I'm just trusting you that that'll happen. Before that week was up, I had full-time work as a chaplain. Hey, within just the space of a couple of days, what had happened, there was a chaplain who was working 4 days a week in two other schools. He was doing 2 days in one school, 2 days in another. And he had just fallen apart. He'd burnt out. And the schools got together with Scripture Union and they said, we want an experienced chaplain to step in so that there's continuity in the service that's being provided. And it just happened to be the same moment where I needed 4 days a week. I just walked into that, hey. And I know it was because a big key of that was keeping my eyes on him, instead of allowing the circumstance to dominate my thought life. Hey, look, things that I'm telling you are simple, but they're not easy, are they? It's not easy when the symptoms in your body. It's not easy when there's pressure on your finances. It's not easy when people are being harsh with you. These are not easy things, but they are simple to do. All you got to do is just die. Just die to your own desires and live to God's desires. Airheads are people that you can count on. Hey, their word is their bond. Even if it costs them dearly, they will keep their word. And that's a real test, hey. You know, as believers, we should be people that keep our word. Thank you for those two yeses. I said, as believers, we should be people that keep our word. Your word is your bond. Hey. If you give your word about something, I don't care if you've got to be up all night to make it come to pass, you do it. You know what will happen? If you do that, number one, you'll start having faith in your words. And then when you pray for yourself, you're getting results, because your faith is in your words, because you believe what you say. You know, a person who just says anything and just doesn't care doesn't have faith in their words. Hey. And so you want to be someone that keeps your word, hey? And number two, you'll be very careful. If you decide, okay, I made that promise, it's really inconvenient for me right now to make that good, but I did say that that's what I would do, so that's what I'm going to do, right? And even if you stay up all night, you've got to make it come to pass. Do you realize if you do that, if you adopt that lifestyle, you're going to be real careful about making a promise, hey? You won't have loose lips, because you understand, I've said that, now I'm going to do it. Airheads are people you can count on. Meatheads can't sit still, hey? In Romans 8, verse 7, it says, because the carnal mind is enmity against God. It is not subject to the law of God, nor indeed can be. You know, meathead can't sit still. They pride themselves on multitasking. But really, the multitasking is just a cloak for their ineptness. They're just doing a million things, never getting anything accomplished. It just reveals fragmented thinking. Oh, I've got to do that. Oh, hang on, I forgot to do this. A meathead finds it impossible to wait on the Lord, hey? They can't sit still. They rush ahead out of God. They rush ahead like just so impatient, just getting out of the will of God. There are times where God will just say to you, wait. I remember when he first talked to me about waiting on the Lord. He said, you need to learn to wait on me. And I said, how long? Because that's the kind of society we live in, isn't it? Do you realize that waiting on the Lord is a very valuable thing, but your mind, when you practice it, your mind will list. You'll just have these lists. I got to do this. I got to do this. I got to do this. I don't have time to do. I'm doing nothing here. No, you're waiting on the Lord. Scripture says, they that wait on the Lord shall what? Renew their strength. People that are constantly feeling tired, feeling weary, people that are constantly just fighting fatigue, constantly just running out of steam, are people that have not learned how to wait on the Lord. Because when you do, you renew your strength, eh? And you will not hear the voice of God consistently in your life unless you practice waiting on the Lord. Do you remember when Elijah, when he was hiding in the cave, and God said to him, what are you doing, Elijah? Come out here. And he came out, and there was a tornado. And the scripture says, but God wasn't in the tornado. And then there was a fire, and it says, God wasn't in the fire. And there was an earthquake, and it says, God wasn't in the earthquake. And then there was a still, small voice. That was God. God speaks through the still, small voice. But if you are so busy that your life is filled with chaos and you've got no time to wait, you'll never hear the still, small voice. Meatheads can't sit still. It's like, why do I have to do this? No. The whole purpose of waiting on the Lord is to teach your flesh it's not going to rule you. Your spirit rules. And that's the purpose of fasting too. If you find trouble waiting on the Lord, skip a meal or two. Hey, fast. You find your flesh will really, really arc up. Hey, but then spend that time that you would normally do eating, waiting on the Lord. It's a great way to just tell your flesh, shut up. I don't care how loud you scream. And your flesh will scream. Especially if you've never fasted before. You're skipping one meal and your flesh is saying, we're dying here, dude. Like, how much longer are we going to do this? But these are healthy things to do, hey, if you want to break the power of your flesh of your life. Hey, you will not hear the still small voice unless you learn to be quiet. Waiting on the Lord for airheads is not always easy, but they can do it, hey. They've discovered the joy and the power of resting in God. You know, airheads can often appear like they're doing little or nothing, hey? When you rest in God, it multiplies your time. I've made more money in the last couple of years than I was when I was in the workforce. And I've given away more money, sowed more money. It's awesome. And yet people can look at me. I remember even as a chaplain, people would look at me and go, what do you do? Do you just kind of just sit here all day? And there would be times that I would just sit. They wouldn't see the times that I had to do stuff. But I, you know, like, anyway, I'm going off the track. But learn to rest in Him. Learn to find strength in that. It brings such clarity of thought. And it multiplies your time so much. People that don't learn to rest and wait will make the same mistake over and over again because they haven't stopped to think about, what am I doing wrong? It's only when you stop long enough to think about your life that God can then say, finally, I've got your attention. Now, why don't you try this? And you think, really? And you put it to work and it's like, wow, that's awesome. Hallelujah. I've got a lot more than I could share, but I think I might just leave it there, hey? I think I'm about halfway through my message, but anyway. Let me just give you, just an illustration to finish with, hey? And then I want to minister to some people, but this is a testimony that I have shared, and I never apologize. There's some testimonies I share a lot of times. I never apologize, and you should never apologize for testimonies God's given you, hey? Because if it was God that did something in your life, you should be rubbing the devil's face in it every opportunity you get and telling anyone who's willing to hear it, hey? But I think this is it's a good illustration of what I'm talking about between meatheads and airheads. I remember years ago when I was working as a bus driver, I came home this one evening, and when I came in, Joy was... She was really looking quite serious, and I said, what's wrong? And she said, Bianca. She said, I just had a call from Bianca. Bianca was her best friend next to me. She was her best friend, and they've been friends for years. And she said, Bianca called, and she'd just come from the doctors, and she's been diagnosed with cancer. And I said, oh, well, that's no good. Anyway, so she said, I believe God wants me to go down. And I said, by all means, let's do it. I said, have we got money? And she said, we've got $300 in the bank account. And I said, all right, well, let's use it. She said, well, it's not enough for an airfare. And I said, well, maybe you can get a bus or something. And she said, no, God wants me to fly. She said, I believe God wants me to fly. And I said, well, how much is the airfare? And she said, $478. And I wasn't due to get paid for another few days. And I said, well, how are we going to do that? She said, I don't know. She said, I just know that God wants me to go. And I know that I'm meant to fly. See, this is the difference between a meathead and an airhead. An airhead isn't governed by what their bank balance is saying. They don't care what the facts are. They've heard from God and they're going to move in that direction, even if it makes no sense. See, here's me, meathead, sitting going, well, what are we going to do? We don't have the money. Anyway, we just came to this impasse. It's like she's going, I need to go. And I said, I want you to go, but we don't have the money. So she kind of got flustered. I got flustered. So she went that way. I went that way. So I went into the kitchen and I started cooking tea. And anyway, probably about 45 minutes later, she came in. And she said, I believe the Lord's spoken to me and I need to ring and book now. I should mention this. When she said, God wants me to go down, she said, and the Lord said it won't cost more than $300. And I said, well, that's good because that's all we got. But anyway, 45 minutes later, she said, I believe God wants me to call now. And I said, I wanted to say, like, are you sure? Like, we don't have the money, you know. Anyway, I'm shutting my mouth. I said, all right, you believe God wants you to do that? She said, yep. And I said, all right, let's do it. So she called, and she called Qantas and said, yep, I want to book a return flight to Melbourne, leaving tomorrow. And they said, yep. Anyway, they got all the details down. And they said, well, that's $478. They said, would you like to pay now or when you collect the ticket? So she said, oh, hang on a minute. So she cut the phone and she goes, they want to know, do I want to pay now or when I collect the ticket? And I said, we don't have it now. She said, oh, yeah, that's right. So she said, well, we'll pay when we collect the ticket. Now, listen, don't do this unless you've heard from God. Hey, I trusted joy enough. Like, even I was still fighting to stay out of that meathead mentality, but I trusted her enough to know that she heard from God. And even though I couldn't see it, I'm biting my lip saying, okay, God, there's got to be a way through this. And so they're finalizing all the details. They said, all right, well, we've got your boarding pass, everything. You can collect that tomorrow when you come for your flight, and you've got to pay, and they're doing all this thing. Just then, Micah runs in. He would have been probably about 3 or 4 years old. He came charging into our room and just jumped on our bed and started using it as a trampoline and just screaming and yelling, you know, like kids do and stuff. And Joy's on the phone and she's going like, shut him up, you know. So I grab him and I take him out of the room. And anyway, the lady said, oh, anyway, Joy said, oh, sorry about that. It was just my son. She said, oh, you're a mum. And Joy said, yeah. And she said, oh, have you heard about our Mother's Day special? And Joy said, no, Mother's, what's the, she said, well, we're offering return flights because of Mother's Day coming up. Return flights for $264. So she was able to get that flight. Hey, she flew down. She dragged Bianca out of that bed. Bianca didn't want to go. She had the curtains closed, the lights off. She was under the covers. And she's just moaning. She goes, leave me alone. I'm going to die. I'm going to die. I'm going to die. Those of you who know Joy, she marched in there. She ripped them curtains open. She said, you got 10 minutes to get out of the bed and get into the kitchen. Otherwise, I'm going to come and kick your butt out of there. She said, I'm making you and me a cup of coffee. We need to talk. Went in. Bianca dragged herself out. I'm dying, Joy. They said, I'm going to die. She ministered the word of the Lord to her. She ministered as the Holy Spirit led her. Over a couple of days, she didn't do it straight away, just over a couple of days, built hope in her, showed her what God's will was for her life, and then said, now, are you ready? And she said, yes. And she led her into a relationship with Christ. Bianca became born again. And then Joy said, now, are you ready for dessert? And Bianca said, yes. Joy laid hands on her. The presence and power of God came upon her. She had ovarian cancer. And they booked her in to have surgery, to have a complete hysterectomy so that they could remove the cancer. Hopefully they could remove all the cancer and that she would be all right. Joy prayed for her and Joy said to her, you're going to be fine. And she flew home. A week later, we got a call from Bianca. She just got out of hospital. She'd had the surgery. She said, you will not guess what happened to me. And Joy said, what happened? She said, well, they went ahead and they did the surgery, and then the next day the surgeon came and he spoke with me, and he was terribly apologetic and he didn't know how to explain it, but he said when they completed the hysterectomy and they tested everything, there was no cancer. But they had done exploratory surgery beforehand and they'd taken tissues of cancer and they'd found cancer there, and they said, you've got cancer, we need to remove it. But when they removed it, there was nothing there. It was completely gone. And she was healed and she was cured. Hey, that's the difference between a meathead and an airhead. There are so many things in that story where Joy or even I could have just slipped in and allowed the circumstance to get bigger. God wants us to be airheads. Is that right?
Yeah.
He wants us to flow in the Spirit. Amen. And you know, this is not going to work in your life unless you have a connection with God. Hey. And so I don't know where different people are with regard to your connection with God, but I want to give you an opportunity. In a moment, we're going to do some ministry. And if you don't have a connection with God, then I want to encourage you to come out the front. If you are not baptized in the Holy Spirit, if you're not able to speak in tongues, and you would like to be able to speak in tongues and see that flow, then I want to encourage you to come out the front. Maybe you can speak in tongues, but it doesn't flow properly. You want that. It's your doorway into the Spirit. A lot of this stuff just doesn't make sense unless you can speak in tongues, because speaking in tongues is not a destination. It's a launching pad. It's when you speak in tongues, you can launch from there into the supernatural power of God. Because if you can speak in tongues supernaturally in a language you've never learned, then you're ready and your mind is open to be used